Thank you very much for the time of worship and singing, and good morning to all of you. It's a privilege to be here and to hear God's word. Many people in the world feel that we are living in the edge of something, like the world is fraying at the seams. You don't need a degree to figure out that there is political upheaval in our world. The last time I checked, there are about 15 to 20 countries involved in this war that started in the Middle East. There is social unrest all over the world. Fractures in communities, cultural challenges, morally held foundations are breaking. What we once thought was right is now called wrong. What is now called wrong is called right. And there's all kinds of instability, economic and environmental disasters. These are not just headlines. They are, as it were, it feels as it were, the ground in which you are standing is falling apart. And so in that context, how do we live for Christ in a world of chaos? There's one word to describe what the world is going through right now, and it is chaos. But I'm here to share with you this morning that chaos is not a 21st century invention. Chaos has been around us all the time. In fact, the Bible opens, the first book of the Bible opens with chaos in Genesis. And it tells us that in this world of chaos, God brought order and sanctity and sanity. So let's look at just three verses. I don't know how long ago you read Genesis chapter 1. But dear folks, this is not just the beginning of the Bible. It is the beginning of faith. It tells us who God is. It tells us how God works. It tells us how God deals with chaos. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and the Hebrew word tohu wa bohu. It sounds like tofu, but it's tohu wa bohu. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Amazing three verses in the Bible. Now, tohu wa bohu, the Hebrew phrase, doesn't mean nothingness. It means unordered, unshaped, uninhabitable. A world that was needing order. And so in the beginning, right in the beginning, the first reality is chaos. Don't forget that. The phrase tohu wa bohu is also used in Isaiah 34:11, when the prophet says that God is going to destroy a certain nation, and they are going to be brought to formlessness and emptiness. It is also used in Jeremiah 4:23. It's talking about judgment, God's judgment. When he judges, it's going to turn into formlessness and emptiness. As you read Genesis 1, verses 1 to 3, the striking reality, in fact, there are three realities that come out of there. Is the first reality is that chaos is real. Chaos is real. The second reality that speaks to me is that the Spirit of God is a beautiful picture. The Spirit of God is hovering over the formlessness, the darkness. Paint that in your mind. When you go through a crisis, the third thing that I see, the reality is that God speaks. And he's not just making a comment. He's not just describing something. His words transform and reshape all of reality. This is not just the pattern of creation. This is the pattern of redemption. This is the pattern of your life as well. So I want to share three realities, three points here from this passage. And the first is God names and transforms chaos. Notice that Genesis chapter 1 starts with, "In the beginning, God." The most precious words in the Bible. Before time was, there was God. Before matter came into being, there was God. Before the chaos, there was God. God is eternal, outside of time, unchanging and faithful. So just imagine that God is never late. He is never surprised, and he will never be overwhelmed by the problems in life and in the world. And God's words, as we said, is not just a commentary. It is powerful. It is a creative word. And it is also interesting that God said, what are the first words God said? He said, "Let there be light." Now, he is not talking about the sun. Now, remember, the sun only gets created on day 4 in Genesis 1, 14 to 16. God created two lights, the greater light, the sun, and the lesser light, the moon. So when he said, let there be light, it was not the sun that came into being, folks. So what was this light? When God said, let there be light, he was not referring to the sun. We often miss this. The first light is not solar light. It's not the sunlight that we are seeing outside this room. Before there was a sun to govern the day, God himself was the light. The light that emanated from his being. And that's why in John, the Gospel of John, it says of Jesus Christ, he was the true light that comes into the world and lighteth every man. This means that God does not need outside external structures to do his work. He can use those things, but he himself is the light. God brings order before he brings the tools of order. God shines his light into chaos even when there's no natural light, no natural source. God can shine his light without the sun. A young man was going through counseling and he was saying, my world is falling apart. Everything is falling apart. And the counselor said to him, you got to give me more details. what has gone wrong in your life, you know? And then the young man said, okay, I lost my job. I'm afraid to tell my family. And the counselor said, now you have named the chaos. You have named the problem. And now we can work on your situation. And so we too must name the chaos honestly before God. God saw the chaos, the creation of the world, and he saw the darkness, and he said, let there be light. We need to name the chaos in our lives. What is the problem in your life? What are you going through today that you think is hopeless? Invite God into your situation. Don't try to fix it yourself. Invite him into your situation. I remember the thing that happened in the Gospels, blind Bartimaeus. Jesus asked him a strange question. He was blind. Jesus was there. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, isn't it obvious that blind Bartimaeus wants his eyesight? But Jesus asked him to name the problem. That is the first step towards healing. God names and transforms the chaos. And that's what we need to do. We may be faced with all kinds of difficulties, but we have to come to God and say, Lord, this is the situation. This is the out of control problem that I'm going through. This is what we are going through. And God, in his powerful might, will enter and intervene into our situation. The second point, we intimated that the Spirit of God is present in the chaos. In verse 2, it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And that to me is so encouraging. Before God speaks a single word, before God intervenes with his words, the Spirit of God is already active. The Spirit of God is present. The Spirit of God is near. And the God who created light without the sun is the God who brings hope without any visible solutions. There may not be a sun in your sky, but there is God, and there is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is present in the mess. When society fractures, the Spirit of God is there. When families are at breaking point, the Spirit of God is hovering over that situation. When your life feels dark, the Spirit of God is there. Deuteronomy 33:27 calls this the eternal God, whose everlasting arms are underneath us, holding us up. Even when life feels unformed and void, God is present. And when the Spirit of God is present, then we know that God is already at work before we figure out that there is a problem. He has already been in the brunt of the problem. And that is a wonderful truth. The third point is that we are called, like God, to be agents of reconciliation and order. God said in Genesis 1:21, when he created mankind, he said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish and the sea, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the, over the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God's purpose was to create mankind so that God's image in us can be used to cultivate and order life and flourishing. That is why we were created. He gave us the image of God, that sense of understanding and rationality. And also, 2 Corinthians 5:18-20, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, be reconciled to God. Paul makes this very explicit. He says that if you are a believer, you have this ministry of reconciliation, this gospel ministry. There is chaos in the world, and to you has been granted the ministry of ordering lives, shaping lives back, transforming lives. And just as God brought light into the darkness, he often uses you. You are the light, the lesser light in this world, to bring illumination, to point people to the greater light, Jesus Christ. Yes, the world is falling apart. I read of a bridge in the Honduras called the Cholatica Bridge. It was built to withstand all kinds of weather and hurricanes, and it survived Hurricane Mitch in 1998. The bridge stood firm, an amazing thing, the bridge stood firm, and you know what? The river actually moved out. Can you picture this? The river moved away, but the bridge was still there. And the structure was strong enough, even though the landscape shifted. And what we are seeing before our eyes is a landscape that is shifting. A moral foundation in our world is shifting. Things that were thought right are now called wrong. Things that are called wrong are now called right. But the bridge is still there. Our job is to guide people back into the bridge. Our job is moral and spiritual reconciliation. And so I encourage you to live out the gospel where you are, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your home situation. Live with this gospel focus, this reconciliation focus. Remember that God is in the business of bringing order into chaos. It started in Genesis 1. And it continues today. There's nothing new about chaos. It always was. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ, spokespersons for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here is the application. We have to live as redeemed people. Unredeemed humanity equals chaos. That's why there's so much chaos in the world. And redeemed humanity, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are called to participate in the reordering of the chaos. Genesis 1 tells us God is eternal, so we can trust Him. Genesis 1 tells us God is the Creator, so we can submit to Him. Genesis 1 tells us God's Word is powerful, so we must obey Him. Genesis 1 tells us God's Spirit is hovering, is already present in the chaos. And He is, as it were, calling us to work with Him in this task of reconciliation. And God is the only solution. It is not Christ plus something else. Remember, God created light when He said, "Let there be light," even before the sun was created. He was the light. God is the only solution. God is never dependent on other circumstances. He can use other things, but He alone is the solution. He can begin His work in your life when nothing around you looks ready. He can shine His light without the sun. He can bring order into chaos. In the book of Revelation, we are reminded in Revelation 21 that one day He will make all things new. There will be no more chaos, no more confusion. And Isaiah reminds us, God is with us. We need not fear as we see the chaos around the world. And so as I close, I want to ask you, what is the chaos in your life? What issues are you going through? What is the darkness in your life? What is the unresolved issues? Where is the place that feels unformed and void? Invite God to speak light into your darkness, light into your heart, light into your home, light into your community, light into your workplace. And He will come in and do what only He can do. He can speak a word that will bring transformation. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you that we are not alone, that the chaos we see are all around us is not new. We thank you that the Spirit of God is now hovering over every chaotic situation in the world, in our world. The Spirit of God is already hovering over that situation. And we thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world and died for us, for the sins of the world, who rose again, and who will come again very soon. Until that time, Lord, keep us in your faith, keep us in the truth. Help us to remember our responsibility, that we are ambassadors for Christ, that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That is to bring order out of chaos. We think of the people all around us who do not know Jesus Christ, that without Christ there is chaos. And Father, it is your desire that none should perish. As chaotic as the people are around us without Christ, it is your desire that people come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. And so use us as your channels, Father. We dedicate, we consecrate our lives into your hands, that you may use us in these coming days to bring order out of chaos. With the help of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.